This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So with more and more things opening up under this MCO in phases, one of the things, one of the arenas that I think people have been asking about, calling for are, well, swimming pools. But there are also a lot of considerations when it comes to how something that inevitably involves people gathering in spaces can be opened. How can they be done safely? What are the SOPs that are needed? So a group of over 100 swim school owners, operators and independent coaches have appealed to the government to reopen public swimming pools and schools that teach aquatic activities.
Worth mentioning at this point that while we're talking about people gathering, we haven't actually discussed chlorine, which is something that I think we're going to bring up, because that is an added element, right? That all these other discussions about sporting arenas don't necessarily have. Pools are quite distinct and different from other playing fields, other sorts of open spaces. But going back to what this group has said, they've pointed out that according to them, there have been no transmissions via pools that have been reported. And also, I mean, if we look at the last 12 months, pools have actually been closed for 185 days out of those months. And businesses have said that they've lost 90% of revenue in the last year. 79% of those have said that they'll have to close shop by the second quarter, which is terribly soon, of this year, if pools can't reopen. And a staggering 90% said that they're basically out of cash reserves. And they rightly point out that we've been seeing so many other forms of exercise going online, right? Gyms, essentially, yoga classes, what have you. Basically stuff that doesn't require too much equipment, doesn't require too much of an investment, doesn't require you to leave your house. They've all gone virtual. However, not all of us have swimming pools in our backyard.
It's also worth pointing out that this is specifically public swimming pools, because I have heard of various, let's say, condominiums or apartments choosing to reopen their pools with SOPs in place. I'm not sure whether that that's still happening during the MCO, but certainly during the CMCO, for instance, many of them had opened up. There were SOPs, including things like testing chlorine levels or limiting the number of people. And that's exactly what this particular group is also suggesting, that they allow, that they be allowed to reopen, that they will regularly test for chlorine levels in their pools, and the limitation of number of people would be one person per square meter.
So looking at the science, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is not aware of any scientific reports of the virus in which COVID-19 spreads through water in pools, hot tubs, you know, theme parks, other treated aquatic venues. And we also have infectious disease experts essentially saying that the virus can't survive in chlorinated water. So the risk here, as it is always, is not necessarily within the pool, but it's what happens outside, you know, where people may be gathering, sharing common touch surfaces. And I suppose if you think about how pools are normally used, how swimming classes are normally conducted with parents, for instance, you do usually have people sitting by the sidelines, maybe having a drink while their kids are in the pool. You also have all the handles and the locker room and the like. I do think, however, that in these particular spaces, SOPs by now are so ingrained in people that I like to think there's not going to be anybody poolside just kind of chilling in a group of five.
And I think much like the conversations that have been happening in the last couple of weeks, sometimes it's a question of, It's a sort of relative sliding scale, right? Like, if we can manage this, why can't we manage that? If these are allowed to open, why not these? And so a lot of these conversations, as you rightfully said, we already know, sanitize high-touch areas, for instance. Some of the advice that the CDC is giving in terms of SOPs specifically for pools does include things like social distancing. They recommend at least 6 feet, or as they say, a few inches longer than a typical pool noodle. And that's both in and out of the water, and particularly when it's people that you don't live with. They also talk about staggering the start and end times of swimming lessons, and then to have things like visual and physical cues, like pool lanes, or you know, to make sure that people do stay 6 feet apart rather than just relying on them. And then, of course, disinfecting shared equipment, pool noodles, floats, and everything else that might come into contact. So I think this is an interesting one, in the sense that I don't know if you're not someone who partakes in these activities, you'll realize what a big loss it is for those who do. But for those who do and for the businesses in this area, it has been a really difficult time.
That's right. I also think that unlike businesses that perhaps have not had to make that many severe adjustments and have been able to run to some degree, have in some cases even been able to pivot and become more successful and make money in this time, I think that there is a commonality here between swimming pools, swim instructors, futsal centers, and cinemas, for instance, where you have all these businesses essentially saying, we understand how important it is to instate these SOPs. We are fully aware of, we want so badly to be able to try. We want so badly to prove to you how much we can follow the SOPs because we need the money. And I think when you have a blanket shutdown, it's very difficult for people who want to run the business and who feel confident that they can run it well, because again, it's their bread and butter, to actually prove that. There's no capacity to prove, you know, that it's all going to be fine because it's a blanket no can do.
So let us know, do you think that public swimming pools should be reopened? If you're a swimmer, if you're somebody who regularly goes to these places, do you miss being able to go for a swim? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking to EJ Yap, who is the CEO of a swimming school called Swim in 12. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14 and this is the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we are talking about whether swimming pools should be reopened. You know, do you think public swimming pools should be reopened? Have you been missing the fact that you can't swim right now? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have now on the line EJ Yap, who is the CEO of a swimming school called Swim in 12. Thank you for joining us, EJ.
Thank you for having me.
What has it been like for you and your business since this pandemic began?
Pandemic has been about 11 months and we have been closed for 7 months in total. For me, every month we've been losing 50,000 a month. And we even conducted a short survey in 2 days where there's 103 coaches and swimming schools participated that affected like 2,000 jobs. And their usual revenue is 33 million a year. And then this year, everyone's been affected by a drop of at least 90% in their revenue.
So earlier we spoke about various guidelines, mostly from the CDC. Has the MOH, the ministry, given any advice about the safety of using swimming pools during this time?
First, the WHO and CDC, they said no evidence for coronavirus can spread on the pool. And in fact, in the first MCO itself in June, we have a meeting together with Ministry of Sports. Ministry of Health and MKN was in the same meeting as well. And we came to agreement that water is actually safe, according to CDC and WHO. So it's not the problem of the water, but whether we can maintain our SOP or not. So eventually, we came to an agreement that there's a SOP in place. If we discussed it, agreed it, and everyone was happy with it. And that's why the swimming lessons was open in June 25th itself. So, because, and swimming is easy because it's a non-contact sport and you can't even talk when you're swimming, is it?
So what are some of these SOPs that were put in place? What are the ones that you're recommending that you put in place now if you're allowed to reopen?
Oh, in fact, swimming has one of the most SOPs, other than wearing a mask when you come in, checking the temperature, checking in, declare you haven't been traveling or close contact to COVID, showering before entering or exiting the pool. If you are in the pool, if you're static, you keep a 1 meter distance. If you're dynamic, you're moving, it's 3 meter distance. We also reduce the usual capacity by, last time the guidance was 50%. But for me, I've reduced by 30%. Scheduling, we don't do walk-ins, and wearing a mask right after you leave the pool. So there's a lot of SOPs in place.
And if we look back to the time where the schools were reopened, people were coming back, did you see a lot of adherence to these SOPs?
Yes, it's a lot of education needed. In fact, when it comes to coaches can control the environment. Because coaches can teach us, can teach children, can teach adults what's the new SOP like. In fact, when everybody comes, that's the first thing that they ask. So we get them to watch a video, we teach them step by step. So it's very easy to control it. And especially when it comes to coaches, coaches can tell a student where to go in, when to go in. So it's very easy to control when it comes to swimming coaches.
I'm wondering if this is also the case when it comes to managing young children. I mean, for instance, how do you tell them to maintain social distance? How do you tell them there are certain things you must do?
For example, for toddlers, for those 1 to 2 years old, the parent itself is managing the kids. The parent itself is holding the kids when it comes to the class. And for those that are coaches to young children, like 4 to 6 years old, usually we give them equipment like noodles, using the wall, playing with the toys inside the water. Coaches are wearing face shield. And if we really can't manage, we will tell the parents that, okay, this child, probably now is not a good time to come in yet. So there's a lot of guidance in place and people are following it.
So have you heard from your clients about wanting the pools to be reopened? How do they feel in general? Is it something that they're comfortable with?
Many. We are getting calls almost every day from our parents to say, hey, when is the pool opening? When's the announcement? So a lot of people are already looking forward to come back to the pool. This is not only just about swimming lessons. It's also about the physical health, mental health. A lot of people are getting bonkers and staying at home looking for an activity, you know, and they know swimming is really safe.
So you mentioned that, you mentioned this earlier, but can you tell us what the importance is in terms of people being able to learn to swim and also to just to be able to keep swimming?
I think it's swimming is really important because other than the death of COVID, there's also the highest rate when it comes to accidental death for children is actually drowning. Yeah, so when it comes to kids 1 to 4 years old, the number one cause in accidental death is drowning. For age 17 and below, it's the second leading cause. So swimming is really, really important. And if you don't start the swimming classes now, it's going to be a big challenge in the future, not just death from COVID, but death from drowning as well, especially accidental ones.
So in closing then, what would you say? I mean, what message would you like to leave the general public with when it comes to giving them that assurance and confidence that it is safe to reopen pools?
First of all, the coronavirus gets deactivated when it's exposed to chlorine water. So the WHO always encourages us to wash our hands regularly. In the swimming pool, you're basically washing yourself every single second when you're in the water. Then the droplets can easily be diluted in a large quantity of water. Pool air is humid, so which is known to reduce the airborne viral transmission. So there's a lot of it's a safe environment to swim in a swimming pool. All we need to do is to keep a distance, have the proper SOP in place, and it's a great time to swim. Pool is always safe.
AJ, thanks so much for speaking to us.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
That was EJ Yap, who is the CEO of Swim in 12. Now, do you think public swimming pools and aquatic activities particularly should be reopened? Are you one of those who have missed being able to go swimming? Do you do that regularly? What do you do for exercise if you haven't been able to swim? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this message from Kamar Nizam.
Yes. So he says water theme parks were allowed to open during the CMCO. So I guess that would be more nightmarish to handle. And yes, firstly, 100%. I mean, if we're talking about high touch surfaces, right, the amount in theme parks is staggering. Also, just at the best of times, I hesitate to share this because I remember once reading about a water study that was conducted in theme parks in China, and the percentage of fecal matter that was in the water was astonishingly high. And ever since then, I used to love water theme parks. I haven't been to one in ages, but ever since then, every time I see images of people like having a great time, I can't help but wonder.
You've just ruined water theme parks for me. But I was also going to say that the difference, I think, is that water theme parks are not structured sort of areas where you take lessons. And it's really a fun space versus, I think, a lot of these kinds of activities. The focus is on exercise. The focus is on learning or keeping up with your lessons. And I do believe that there are ways to make that a lot more manageable than something like a theme park. Did you find that... are you a swimmer? I realize I don't know this about you, Lynn.
I can swim, and I did take swimming lessons because I was late to learn it. And I think that in thinking about my own experiences learning how to swim as a tween, I think it was, it is very structured. And I do think it's perfectly possible to have all the separation, all the space that is required, especially if we are prioritizing exercise, if we're prioritizing, if basically you take away the people who would have traditionally gone to pools on the weekends to kill time, right? Not necessarily to exercise, not necessarily to learn to swim, just to kind of splash in the kids' area. If we think now about just exercise, I do think that there's lots and lots of possibility for clean and clear separation. And I also think that as with so many other things, we shouldn't underestimate the desire of not just the people in the industry to do it and do it well, but of the people who miss it as an activity, who also want to see it stay open and to see it return, and the commitment there to kind of ensure that we're following through on it.
I actually was just speaking to a friend who had started swimming lessons just before the MCO kicked in. And because of that, the entire sort of trajectory of being able to learn and remember what he had learned has been completely derailed. And I was thinking that seems so unfortunate, because as an adult, even signing up for swimming lessons is a big deal. Yeah. And then to have it sort of just thrown out because you can't go to the pool was quite sad, I thought.
I'm actually curious, not just about people who go to public swimming pools. I mean, if you live in a condo and your pools have been reopened and you've been going back to swimming, or you pass it on your way back up to your place, I'm curious whether you've seen people swimming, whether you've been going swimming, and actually how safe it's felt even within those sort of more controlled environments, right? Because not everybody goes to a public swimming pool, even though that's what we're talking about. But in general, the experience of swimming, I just wonder whether for people who've returned to that, what that's been like.
And what sorts of SOPs are actually in place? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've just gotten this WhatsApp from CM, who says, I try to go swimming at least twice a week, have had to resort to doing planking and other cardio exercise at home since MCO 2.0. Really looking forward to the reopening of pools so that I can revert back to my weekly routine.
Yeah, I think the value of swimming as a total body exercise is sometimes very difficult to replicate, especially because it's low impact, right? It's easier on your joints. Essentially, if you know how to swim, almost anybody of any age will be able to do it and do it safely. I used to swim a lot, and I stopped essentially because of not the MCO, but the difficulty of just getting out of the house, you know, and you know, lugging myself to a pool, showering, doing the whole shebang. But I understand the feeling of missing it.
We also have Rajkumar saying, I love and miss swimming. Picked up swimming late and wished I did it earlier. Kids pick it up faster. Great explanation by the guest. I'm more confident now, but I'm also curious about the sea. That's a good point. There's no chlorine in the sea, though, I must say. And I feel like I know a lot more about chlorine today than I did before.
Yes, they're ridiculously high amounts of salt. Mm-hmm. But we, I think, don't at this moment have at our fingertips how that would affect the transmission of the virus. However, with the sea, presumably, one hopes you actually have a lot more space. Mm. You know, if we're talking about keeping away from one another, you have even more of that room when you're not confined by whatever was built out of concrete 10 years ago.
So let us know, do you miss swimming? Do you think pools should be reopened? Are you lucky enough to live in a building that actually has a pool that you can use? What are the kinds of SOPs that are in place? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.